This episode of Design by Architectural Record is sponsored by Vitro Architectural Glass. Solarban R77 Glass by Vitro Architectural Glass was developed to help architects capture the visual character of the sky and allow specifiers to meet increasingly stringent building code mandates. On the building exterior, Solarban R77 Glass offers a crisp, silver-blue transmitted color, and on the building interior, it provides clear exterior views in soft, natural, neutral daylight. It's just the right balance of reflectivity and performance. Learn more about Solarban R77 Glass at vitroglazing.com/SBR77. That's vitroglazing.com/SBR77.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Designed, a podcast by Architectural Record. We appreciate you listening, and once finished, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast, rate us, and leave a comment. If you'd like to learn more about design and see all the other great content that Architectural Record has to offer, please visit architecturalrecord.com for more information. Enjoy the show and have a wonderful day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Designed by Architectural Record. I am your host, Aaron Prinz. As always, I know you've heard it 1,000 times, but I want to start this episode the same way I start every episode, by saying thank you to all of you out there for listening to the podcast, sharing it with your friends. If you're new to the podcast, if you've been listening to it for a while, whatever the case may be, if you want to help us get the podcast out to more people, just leave us a comment on the iTunes review section. It would really mean a lot. And be sure to check out architecturalrecord.com. And of course, follow the podcast on Instagram at designed.podcast for everything we have coming up, because we have some really great things. This week's episode, we have Melody Yashar of Icon, and it was a really wonderful episode. If you're not familiar with what Icon does, I said this in the beginning of the episode, but it reminds me of kind of the interview we did with Boston Dynamics. What Icon is doing is they're an Austin-based company that's 3D printing homes, and they're collaborating with, you know, some of the biggest architectural firms out there, big, of course, and right here in Texas with Lake Flato. So it's a really interesting episode on how technology meets design, and I don't think it disappoints. So without further ado, sit back, relax, enjoy. Here we go with Melody Yashar. So Icon, I'm here. I'm having flashbacks to the interview we did a couple years ago with Boston Dynamics, where it's like, are you a tech company? Are you architecture? Where do you fit into everything? And the thought, I'm going to be like, full disclosure, when I first heard like 3D printed houses, I thought, that sounds like a bunker. That sounds kind of miserable. And like, it's all lumpy. And I don't know, I just had this vision of like what that might be. But it's come a long ways. And the houses that you've produced, and I've seen the little ADU in the backyard, I think it was one of the first ones that was actually like an inhabitable space or marketable space. But it was really, really elegant and really, really nice. So this process, I'm like, highly confused. I could see this as like, some architect sitting at a bar going like, wouldn't it be awesome if we could 3D print a house? And so how does it go from there to where you are now? I'm assuming it started there, but like, what is the story and how did you get to this point as a company?
Oh, this is such a great place to start. I think that architecture has always been entranced, let's say, in the production of computational geometries that are afforded by digital processes. 3D printing is one of them, right? So if you have a digital model, how do you actually make it a reality? I think that 3D printing has always had ambitions to create large scale structures. It just happens to be one of the more difficult problems, right? So 3D printing is almost ubiquitous in terms of like product scale and desktop scale applications that are used in medicine, that are used across multiple sectors, manufacturing, et cetera, but it hasn't yet made its, and what you're insinuating exactly right, is it hasn't made its dent yet on the construction industry and on mainstream housing, but that is exactly what we are out to do. So Icon is a construction robotics company. We focus on hardware, software, materials, and architecture and building performance relative to housing solutions that are accessible, that are resilient, and that can introduce social good through some of the benefits that are found in how you automate construction. So essentially, when you look at this problem of how to introduce, let's say, scalable housing solutions across multiple price points and ones that can be accessible to all and not just to a few who might be uber rich. Automation technologies are certainly an enabling factor here. So we're interested in how, and we're committed to how the technology can reduce costs, speed up the process, and introduce dignified, resilient housing for people of all sorts. In regards to the kind of aesthetic of a 3D printed house, yeah, it is unconventional. It is unconventional to see a single family home that's made out of concrete. It's incredibly energy efficient and it introduces new values to like the life cycle of the building overall. And I think that there's still a general perception of concrete as this like brutal kind of material, and it lends itself to this brutal aesthetic. But also it enables all kinds of possibilities when it comes to like new geometric forms. Like we're able to literally print any kind of geometry within the wall assembly, be it undulating forms and curves, which in traditional construction are extremely difficult and time prohibitive to do.
And we've all been through that architecture review with the student that puts in a curve and it's like they rue the day they put a curve in their design because the professor just rips them apart. But that's probably right. A lot to do with the building methods, and it's something you don't see every day in like a normal house, for example.
No, and that's exactly right. It's because the product supply chain for building materials is so geared towards horizontal and vertical surfaces, flat pack materials. Like we're just not accustomed to building with curves and with undulating forms and experimental geometries. It's just not something that we're able to do. So new prototyping technologies and rapid prototyping technologies are enabling new possibilities for architects, and 3D printing is no exception to that.
Well, can you just take us through, because you've collaborated with a lot of firms. You have Lake Flato, Big, it's a pretty big name architecture firm, NASA, heard of them. So in terms of this process, are you all the designers or are you the contractor? What is the process of actually getting a 3D printed house from concept through design to be actually being built?
Great question. We operate as a general contractor, as well as in many projects we are the ones who initiate the project, but we also have customers and clients that we work for as well. But as you mentioned, we collaborate with outside architects and groups such as Lake Flato, such as Big, to realize a vision of the houses and of the structures that we're actually building. And it's our team and my team, internal to ICON Architecture and Building Performance, that actually implements the most applicable wall system to each one of those projects. We also work to translate the construction drawings into applicable G-code and a toolpath for the printer to actually construct the project and develop the concept of operations for how the printer actually deploys on site and makes it real. So it's still a very largely collaborative process. And as we go, there are all kinds of efficiencies that we're identifying within the design build process. We really are like a design builder in some ways to make the process smoother and to make sure that it works as effectively as possible from drawing to printed product.
Well, I think there's also like to partner with Big, where I'm talking with someone from Big in a couple days, but I can't think of like a better partner. I don't know like the ins and outs of your business or of Big's, but my the reason I say that is like Big has done a really good job, in my opinion, of making architecture like cool and sexy. And they've like sort of redefined the business model, where I feel like architecture, it's like stuck back in AutoCAD for some reason, where it's like the technology and the renderings and everything has advanced, but like the actual business model is like so just old fashioned. And so I think like the Big sort of flashiness of it is a really, really good thing for architecture. And I could just see this being like a really good fit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this like stereotypical model of projects being commissioned by, you know, a so-called client or so-called institution is something that we're not really operating under, because the technology is enabling so much more and is enabling us to actually reach a consumer base and also a user base of inhabitants that like actually need homes. Like, people need homes. There is a shortage of housing in the United States, and we're not satisfied with the traditional means and methods that come with stick frame housing. And the waste and the construction waste and the time inefficiencies of building that way. So I do agree, like, BIG is a fantastic partner because they are interested in the affordances of the technology, and they're interested in kind of like future forward thinking at the scale of not just a single residence, but also larger communities, which is what we're also working towards.
Well, can you just step back for a second? Because you brought it up, like, traditional stick frame building technology. Building a 3D printed house, like, I've seen the videos, and it's like one of those things where it's like, this is so simple. I could have done it. But I'm sure it's like incredibly complicated. But like, from just watching this like row of concrete be poured, it's like very soothing to watch. But how does the whole process, does it differentiate itself from a traditional building methods? And to inhabit a 3D printed house, what is the feeling like compared to something, a more traditional house that someone might be used to going into?
Oh, interesting. Well, I love this question. Essentially, what we print is the wall system of the house. So basically all of the vertical and enclosure elements of the house, apart from the roof and the foundation, or at least not yet. And in a traditional kind of building construction process, like for wood stick framing, it's going to involve multiple steps like framing, drywall, siding, but 3D printing eliminates that because we're actually designing for a wall assembly that is the enclosure itself. There aren't separate parts or components relative to that. Because we're working in concrete, the thermal mass of the system is incredibly great, and it lends itself to an overall superior performing wall. So the overall life cycle of the building is improved, and it's an incredibly airtight wall that we're working with, so there's no infiltration of moisture and air. And these are some of the advantages that we have over traditional construction.
So from the inside, it's still concrete. There's no gyp on the inside. Or like, what do you say to the person that says, I want to be able to hang a picture of my kids or whatever on this wall, or mount my TV? It's just buy a TV stand and get some command strips. Is that the secret?
You certainly can hang a TV onto the walls. It's been done before in our 17th Street house. You can hang pictures onto the wall, but we also are, you know, we're sensitive to the fact that, like, especially in bathrooms and in areas where you might want a different finish material, like tile and whatnot, that is still something that we can introduce with our printed wall system.
Now, if I can I play some devil's advocate here for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
Because I know you've talked a lot about like this need for housing and whatnot. I've seen the Zillow listing for your 17th Street development. They're not cheap. They're high eights. Right. So while I could see this, and then this is kind of where I like, are you all a tech company or are you an architecture firm? And I know that you've taken, or not that you've taken, but like you have investors like any tech company would. And so there is this sort of need to return that investment. I totally understand that. With that said, how does this play in this balance of creating housing, creating affordable housing, and yet still having less affordable options and that return on that investment for your investors?
Right. The 17th Street homes are definitely at market rate. There's no denying that. And the fact of the matter is that we're not only a hardware company and that we are manufacturing our Vulcan 3D printing system, which is the gantry style printer that you see on site for all of our projects, but we're also working towards materials and software that's proprietary to us, and wall assemblies, wall types, wall system varieties that are going to be specific for multiple applications of our construction. We feel, because the wall system and the wall assembly itself is so integral to the performance of a house, we feel that we also want to take ownership over the performance of the building overall. Like, we don't want to just supply a wall system to other construction partners and not be able to factor in the overall benefits that we're providing in terms of energy efficiency, etc. So we try to take a whole home performance approach. Like, we want to actually create home products and homes and housing solutions that are going to outperform other building construction methods. So this is why we take a very holistic approach to not only the construction technology, but also to the house products that we create. Maybe that's analogous to what an architecture firm does, but we try to look at it from a higher perspective. Like, we're not actually prescribing a certain design. We're not actually working towards the realization of like a vision that is architectural or formal in style or shape, but we're looking at the performance and the sustainable aspects of our building construction system very holistically so that we can introduce that to a broader consumer base and to a broader user base. And hopefully that can lend itself to greater social good as well.
We all came up on a podcast we did a couple months ago. It was about Paradise, California. Are you familiar with Paradise? Essentially, you're not? No. So basically the story is in 2018, PG&E didn't maintain their equipment up in the foothills outside of Chico, California, a couple hours north of Sacramento. And it sparked incredibly windy day. Embers flew like 9 miles, landed in the town of Paradise, and the whole town burned to the ground in like 10 minutes. Or maybe not 10 minutes, but it was like an hour. It was like not very, very, it was very, very quickly. And there's a couple documentaries of like, there's like one road in and out and people were just trapped essentially. So we did like a rebuilding podcast and see like 3 years later, how's it going? He had brought up like 3D printed technology. And then I got to thinking like concrete, is there any sort of reinforcement or like area that has the possibility to have an earthquake? I mean, we talked before the start of it from the Bay Area. You've been through earthquakes. I've been through earthquakes. How does this stack up? Are there any limitations geographically and not just earthquakes, but there's other elements throughout regions that could affect this? How does your technology kind of go at those?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, in regards to the fire question, concrete is one of the most resilient materials ever created. It's better suited to withstand fire risk than wood frame construction. And it's better suited to withstand like impact damage from windstorms and other natural disasters. So overall, we have a more superior system just in terms of the resiliency. That is a focus of us, of our company. And it is something that we're working actively towards, applications of resilient housing solutions. When it comes to seismic, the community first village that we built in Nacajuca, Mexico was within a seismic region. Certainly there are challenges for concrete construction relative to lateral forces for seismic, but it is something that we're working actively towards in research and in our projects to be able to withstand and to be able to introduce reinforcement solutions that actually can take on those geographic conditions.
So is there actually steel in your wall assembly or?
There most certainly is reinforcement within the wall assembly, yes.
And in terms of, I mean, I guess I'm thinking of like a 3D printing process and like on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. Is it a stop and go system or is it as this is pouring, people are running behind it and placing? How does this all work together? What is the process of actually 3D printing a home?
The printer itself actually does not stop. We have a fully automated system. Operators have iPhones and tablets that actually tell them when different elements need to become integrated within the print. So things like electrical boxes, windows, etc. All of this is automated within the system to actually let people know and let our operators know when there needs to be some kind of integration that happens. But overall, the printer does not stop. The nozzle, as soon as it starts, continues to print throughout the duration of the construction process. Unless there's, you know, some other larger issue.
Well, we've all been in studio and you like set your print and you come in the next day and it's just like spaghetti. Have you ever come to the site and there's just like spaghetti of concrete everywhere? Or
No, absolutely not. There's a modest operating team whenever we're building houses of and structures of any sort. But in terms of timing, it's an incredibly time efficient process. It moves very quickly. So like, roughly speaking, a 2000 square foot house, also depending on the design of the house itself, it can take 5 to 7 days to print at most. So the metric that I like to keep in mind and that we're really pushing and celebrating is that it's roughly a house a week that we're aiming to actually print. And that's only for the printing process.
So that's only for the printing process. So in terms of like complete finish out, is it still like a 9 to 10 month thing or?
Well, we're looking to introduce for the wall assembly, certainly not. But we are working with other more traditional building construction methods when it comes to roofing and when it comes to finishing, yes.
So you're still looking, are you trying to, in terms of complete start to finish time of a house?
Start to finish time. I mean, absolutely, it speeds things up. And our interest is really in the scalability of the technology. So not in showing efficiencies for a single house that is finished beautifully, the efficiencies are really going to come in scaling up is what I'm trying to get at. So not just printing a single home within 5 to 7 days, but imagine if you have dozens and dozens of homes, it introduces a greater, let's say, scalable efficiency to how we're actually approaching construction.
And in terms of scale, there are limitations by the size of the printer. And I don't know if it's possible to start it, but what are the scalable applications for this? Could you see someday a high rise being built or like an apartment complex? Or is it mostly at this moment being kind of wrangled in at a single family home?
For the moment, we're targeting single family homes. High rises, I'm not so sure. Two-story construction is something that we are working towards in the future. But for the time being, just given our customers and given the general interest in single-family housing, that has been the typology that we've focused on for the time being.
What are some of the, I'm kind of curious, the type of setbacks that there have been or like the type of typical pitfalls you find in this construction or limitations? Or is it mostly just in the programming sort of aspect?
Some of the challenges are, frankly, they're very similar to the challenges that you find in any kind of construction environment. So dealing with the variability of your environment, like rain and contingency relative to natural and environmental factors that we can't really control, like things like variable humidity is not something that we have control over within when we're printing on a construction site. If we're in an enclosed environment, it would help a lot. But the reality is that we're building houses and we're building houses in communities and sites that have variable conditions. So that's one of the challenges that we encounter. Other than that, we're looking to implement, I would say, best practices for integrating with our wall system when it comes to the products and trades that we bring on to finish out a house, because it really is the wall assembly that we're focusing on for the time being. So how we manage those relationships, how we educate others within relative to the way that the wall is actually formed and how it's constructed is something that we need others to get behind. There's also a regulatory hurdle that everyone within the additive manufacturing industry in large scale additive manufacturing is looking to overcome. So there are appendices that have been written for ICC and UL and relative to 3D additive manufacturing. And those are just incredibly time consuming and challenging to take on because they haven't been, this is a developing technology. People have not gone through the approval for all of these regulatory bodies before. So it's something that we're working on actively. It's certainly a challenge.
I want to change gears here for a second. Mars Dune Alpha and Olympus designing for space. Now, this is one of those things where I saw the pictures originally and I was like, okay, are you really like, what is it a pretty picture? And this is what you did with Big, or what is the actual real life? Is this something that's actually going to be happening? And also designing for space. I mean, talk about environmental challenges. Holy crap. I don't even know. Who knows what Mars would be like. You know what I mean? So when you're designing for that, how are you anticipating really anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a wealth of research to draw from. And fortunately for us, we are working with a group at NASA Marshall called the Moon to Mars Planetary Autonomous Construction Technologies.
That's a name.
Program.
Wow.
That's right. Sorry. NASA is very fond of acronyms. So the acronym for that program is MPACT. MPACT. In any event, they are the ones leading the way. They're truly the pioneers when it comes to large-scale 3D printing internally at NASA. This is a technology that has been explored for some time. And together, we're working with that group based out of NASA Marshall to put together our overall approach for additive manufacturing and establishing large-scale infrastructure on the surface of the moon. And it's not science fiction. It's not far future. It's happening within this decade that we are making plans to deploy our initial kind of robotic system, our Olympus system, to print horizontal and then vertical infrastructure on the moon.
So essentially you'd send up the printer and it would print it in place?
Correct. It would have to be printed in place, yeah. Yes.
That's crazy. I mean, again, the thought of it, I was like, it seems far-fetched. Again, sorry, I don't know where I'm going with this.
No, not at all.
I just wanted to talk about it. But
the overall concept there is that it is so prohibitively expensive to be launching habitats and large-scale infrastructure that you need for a city from Earth, like the transportation aboard a rocket launch, like it's just too expensive. So how can we sort of think about scaling up infrastructure, creating these large-scale infrastructure elements on the surface of the moon without having to launch all of those materials and construction, let's say, related hardware? So this idea of using the local and indigenous Mars soil lunar regolith is what is the driving factor for this for this program. Like, we're looking to use the local resources on the planet instead of bringing them from Earth.
And how do you even go about like beginning to plan that out?
Well, it's incredibly collaborative. The MPACT program is focusing on the additive manufacturing and materials handling itself. We're going to need power resources. We're going to need excavation resources. We're going to need all kinds of radiation shielding for electronics and hardware. And this is all going to be happening robotically prior to any crew's arrival. So the controls and monitoring and all of the basically the software systems involved are going to be incredibly complex. Yeah, it's going to be part of an overall initiative, which is part of the Artemis program from NASA, to establish permanent infrastructure and a permanent settlement on the moon within this decade. And we want to go to the moon and we want to stay on the moon. So that's the overall goal that we have in mind here.
Well, Melody, they're going to need someone to go up and run the printer, and Austin's getting pretty expensive. So are you going to be making the shift or no?
The moon might be pretty fun to go to. Absolutely. Mars is a different story, though.
So I just want to go into, you know, there might be some people listening, and this is kind of the vibe I got. Again, I said this reminds me of the Boston Dynamics episode, that it's like so entrenched in construction and architecture. But myself, 2 degrees in architecture, I don't know if there's a place for me with icons. Kind of what is the knowledge base required to be involved in such a project?
We're hiring across almost all of our departments at ICON. Internally to ICON, we have technology teams, architecture and building performance department, and of course, construction and operations. Essentially, most engineering backgrounds, I shouldn't speak for all the departments, but most engineering backgrounds are going to give a good foundation for a role within the technology teams. And that's broken down into software, hardware, material science. And architecture and building performance, yes, we are hiring for architects, and we're hiring with those who have a construction architecture background. We have an individual on our team at the moment whose focus is on building science and building performance. We're looking for additional building analytics capabilities. We have an individual on our team who focuses on robotic construction and as it relates to software and translating G code into the built product. And yeah, those are some of the roles and opportunities that we have available.
Well, looking at, you mentioned building performance, sustainability is like, it's one of those words that really annoys me in architecture, just because everyone's sustainability this, sustainability that, and then their whole building is printed out of steel that was shipped halfway across the country. It's like the most unsustainable sort of practice you could have, but they all put it on their website because it's really like what you're supposed to put on your website. So in terms of sustainability, how do these buildings manage against like a normal traditional house?
So we have, I think it's worthwhile and I think it's useful to sort of break it down into the construction processes that actually bring all the materials and resources to the site. And then separate from that, focus on sustainability in regards to the performance of the home itself, meaning how are we actually introducing energy efficiency within the systems? In regards to that, like, traditional construction is incredibly wasteful. It is very rare that you actually know in your materials quantity and buy-off exactly how much you're going to be using. The reality of 3D printing is that you only use as much as is printed, right? So that's one kind of example there. Because in regards to like the performance of the building itself, concrete, it has incredibly high thermal mass. So your kind of comfort and energy efficiency in regards to HVAC systems and whatnot is improved in that regard. So yeah, there's kind of let's say a material supply and a product supply question that comes before the building is built. And then there's a sustainability question in regards to operation of the building and life cycle of the building after it's constructed as well.
Compared to other, I'm assuming you have done a lot of research in 3D printing and sort of fabrication. So how has this compared to other research you've done and this implication, did it meet your expectations, or like just how has this kind of evolved from where you were?
So I have a kind of unique background in that I started out, well, I would say that my main kind of, the way that I first was introduced to ICON was through NASA Marshall by virtue and by what means of the 3D printed habitat competition, which was kicked off by NASA in 2014, 2015. So I was a repeat contestant within this competition. And that competition focused not only on like the design of habitats on the moon and Mars, but also on demonstrating the technology through prototypes. So they asked teams to sort of prototype a 3D printed foundation, a 3D printed hydrostatic test, flexural beam test, and all kinds of structural members. At the conclusion of that competition, the folks at NASA Marshall identified a number of finalists and key competitors. My group was one of them. ICON was another one of them. And we started collaborating. And this was the way that we sort of kicked off this is kind of the way that I was brought into the ICON world. The thing that I think, and I've worked with other, let's say, competitors within the 3D printing landscape, the thing that makes ICON very distinct here is that we really are looking at the entire, let's say, scope of not just the printing technology, but also the home and the structure that we're building itself. Most other technology companies are focusing on like the deposition system, the material, etc., and the engineering involved to actually make that a reliable and efficient technology. We're focusing on the entire experience that comes with the printed house as well. So like, what is the best possible home product that we can provide to people who need homes and need them in a more accessible, in an accessible manner? So that makes it very unique, the social impact of what we're doing. And let's say that we're really invested in social good. And that's something that you don't necessarily find across technology companies.
You know, the first time I saw an ICON house, again, it was at ADU. And was it Overland Partners? What was the architecture firm you partnered with? There's like a small ADU with a shed roof, some clerestory windows.
Was that at South by Southwest, the Chicone house?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes, that's right.
Was it with Overland Partners?
Logan Architecture.
Logan. Shout out to Logan. So I had a friend that was interning there, and he's like, oh, yeah, this 3D printed house. And that was the first time I heard about it. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago, I want to say. And now, obviously, this 17th Street subdivision is pretty large. So I don't know. That's relatively a short time to go from an ADU to a full development. I'm sure it's been before that. But where do you see 10, 15, 30 years from now? Where is 3D printed homes and 3D printed construction going to be? Aside from Mars and on the moon and every other galaxy.
Actually, I was going to say it will be in space. That is the far. That is the ultimate application. We really are focusing on the development of accessible and resilient communities. And we see this as an enabling technology for actually making that happen. So even though the 17th Street project is for homes, we're going to be scaling up. We're going to be working towards communities that are basically going to demonstrate how the technology can function at scale. So the technology, I think, is going to be especially applicable to areas in which you have that require disaster relief, for example, or that require more resilient building construction methods. And that's another place that we're going with this. Yeah, I think that overall, having additive manufacturing involved and an integral part of construction processes is going to radically change the way that we approach BIM, building information modeling. It's going to lend itself to a lot smarter and more efficient ways of introducing different material systems. Yeah, it's going to radically change the way that we design curved walls, more interesting geometries, undulating forms, and it lends itself to so much creativity that just wasn't there beforehand, or that isn't there with steel and wood frame construction.
Awesome. Well, Melody Ashar, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to an episode of Designed, a podcast by Architectural Record. If you enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate you taking a moment to subscribe to the podcast, give us a rating, and leave us a comment. Have a wonderful day.